be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As the hymn suggested, as the children's message suggested, as our sermon is going to suggest, our theme is Dressed for the Wedding Banquet. Based on our gospel reading, especially the first two verses again, Matthew 22, again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son." I invite you to turn inside your bulletin, find there the insert, which is colored green, I guess, this morning, as we consider our theme, Dress for the Wedding Feast, Dressed for the Wedding Banquet. Well, you've been invited to the wedding. What are you going to wear? Being invited to such an event is a joyful thing. There's going to be a wedding, a large feast. The food will never run out. But with this invitation, there come a number of questions that you must answer. Question number one, when you're invited to such an event, what gift should I bring? Question number two, what should I wear? Should I buy a new suit? Ladies, should you buy a new dress? Such an event, such a feast, is not an everyday event. And so, everyday clothes simply won't do. Today's gospel reading is about being properly dressed for God's heavenly banquet at the end of life on this earth, at the beginning of our life with God forever in heaven. So on this Thanksgiving Sunday, I ask you to shift gears for a moment. Shift gears from thinking about a Thanksgiving banquet, which you're all soon to enjoy. Shift gears to thinking about an eternal banquet in heaven. But don't worry. This will be a sumptuous banquet. And there's been a place at the heavenly table at the banquet prepared just for you. Jesus tells us a parable in today's gospel reading. There's going to be a wedding banquet, and the invitation is meant for all people. Listen to the first three verses again. Again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son, and he sent his servants to call all those who were invited to the feast, but they would not come." This is a banquet. It's a wedding feast for the king's son. It's a lavish feast. There's a huge guest list. But for some reason or another, some people are not willing to come. And so, a second invitation is sent. Listen to verses 4 through 7. "Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I prepared my dinner. My oxen and calves have been slaughtered. Everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention, and they went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized the servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their cities." A second invitation was sent to the feast. But this time, the messengers were mistreated, mishandled, beaten, and some killed. The king is rightfully upset, and so he punishes those ungrateful people. Now take note, this is a parable. There's one main point of every parable and one main point throughout the different sections. Here's the first main point. God has sent his prophets. God has sent his apostles. God has sent his pastors with the message of the invitation to the wedding feast of Jesus, his son. But the message, the messengers, and Jesus, his son, have been rejected and even killed by people who would not receive the message. When this parable was first spoken, it was talking about the Jewish religious leaders. But the parable goes on. First invitation wasn't responded to. Second invitation was handled so rudely and people were put to death. The invitation then a third time is sent out to those who were outsiders. Listen to verse 8 through 10. Then the king said to his servants, "The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Now go, therefore, to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you can find." And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. And so the wedding hall was finally filled with guests. The king, take note, did not cancel the wedding banquet due to the rude refusals. But he sent new messengers out to every highway and every byway. And here the parable comes again. The gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ, this gospel is telling us, is given to all people, not just to the Jewish people of the first century who refused the good news of Jesus. The gospel was preached to all Gentiles, to non-Jews. And you here are proof. The good news of Jesus has gone out to all of the world. The message was received, and the gospel lesson says, on that heavenly day, the banquet hall will be filled. But please note a very important point in this parable, one John was trying to get at with the children's sermon. The response to God's invitation needs to be made on God's terms. That is, the right and proper wedding garment is needed to get into the banquet. Listen to how the parable ends. And when the king came in to look at the banquet guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?" And the man was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot, cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." Did you hear that? Why was the king so upset with the guest who didn't have the proper clothing? It was more than a case of not having a nice suit of clothes and a new dress. To help you understand, let me explain to you wedding banquet customs at the time of Jesus. In Jesus' day, it was not expected that every poor person would have a wedding garment proper enough and nice enough to wear to the banquet. So it was a custom, listen carefully, that the host of the banquet would provide special clothing, would pay for out of his own money and give to everybody he has invited a nice wedding gown to put over their old dirty clothing. Please note, the wedding garment is not something you buy for yourself. It's a free gift provided by the host. The problem in the parable is this. The king is upset because people will not accept his free gift of the wedding garment that he has fully provided. They're trying to get into the banquet in their own dirty clothing. Now take note again, the parable has one major point to make here. The mercy and forgiveness of God is like a garment that covers our sin and covers our guilt. Whenever you see a pastor dressed in these robes, he's a walking object lesson. The filth of his sin, the dark clerical shirt, is covered by the robes of Christ's righteousness. In this parable for today, the king is upset because he has provided this wedding garment, and it cost him a great price to give this garment of mercy and forgiveness. But there were some who said, "We don't want your garment. We're going to try to come to the banquet on our own." Throughout the scriptures, let me say this again, the mercy of God is compared to a garment that God gives us to cover our sin and rebellion. Listen to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61 says, "God has clothed me with his garments of salvation." Zechariah 3 says it this way, God has taken away our filthy rags of sin and clothed us with rich robes of forgiveness. And did you pay attention to the first verse of our sermon hymn? Listen to these words. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. Jesus, your blood and your righteousness are my beauty, and they are my glorious dress that you have given to cover me. Now, what's the meaning of all this? Here it comes, and it's on your outline. God invites us to come to Him, but on His terms, not in the clothes of our own so-called righteousness. We cannot come to God. We cannot come to His banquet. We cannot come to His heaven in our own garments, in our own clothing, with our own credentials, with our own good deeds. We can only come to Him on His terms, in the way that He has provided. And God's way is through Jesus Christ. Listen to the verse of another hymn. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. And Jesus said these words, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, what is the way to God the Father? What is the way to His heavenly banquet that Jesus has provided? Look here. There's the way. The way that God has provided for sinners like you and me to come into His holy presence, to come into the gates of heaven, is only and always through the cross of Jesus, His Son, our Savior. Jesus, you remember Him. Jesus, who laid down His life for your sins. Jesus, who was crucified on the cross to pay for your filth and your guilt and your rebellion. Jesus, who on that cross defeated sin, defeated death, defeated the devil. Through Jesus, God has provided a way to His banquet hall. Through Jesus and the shed blood, you are clothed with His righteousness. Why do you think pastors are dressed in white robes? Why do you think babies are baptized in white gowns? Why do you think so often women are come to their weddings in white garments to demonstrate the purity and forgiveness that Christ has given? Nothing in my hand I bring, naked come to thee for dress. The King has provided the wedding garment. You can't get into the banquet on the way you want to come, on the basis of your good deeds and your dirty clothes from the street. Now note today's Old Testament reading from Isaiah 25. In Isaiah 25, he paints a vision that of that heavenly banquet that the parable in Matthew 22 describes as a wedding feast. Listen to Isaiah. Beautiful imagery. It's on the back of your bulletin if you care to follow. Isaiah says, on this mountain, that is heaven, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, rich food full of marrow, aged wine well-refined. And He, God, listen to this, and He will swallow up on this mountain the covering cast over all peoples, the veil that spread over all nations. What's that? The next verse says, He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God Himself, the Lord God Himself will wipe all tears from our faces. Did you hear that? The heavenly feast that God has prepared for all people is a feast beyond our imagination. And when we reach the shores of heaven, we will celebrate with this feast that God has taken away the veil that covers all people. The threat that's over each of our heads is a threat of death, and God will defeat death once and for all. And as if that weren't enough, on heaven's shores, when you see your Jesus face to face, He will take you aside and wipe the tears from your eyes, those things that have broken your hearts in this life, those pains and those sorrows only you and God know about. God Himself will take time and wipe every tear from your eyes. That's the heavenly feast. That's the feast the parable is talking about. And in order for you to get into that feast, He has provided the garments of salvation. Now, sad to say, this is hard for many to accept. There are many people outside the church, and sad to say, even inside the church, who say to God, I want to come the way I want to come. I want to come on my own way, not on yours. I want to come on the basis of my good deeds. I want to come in my own garments. Don't give me this robe of righteousness and forgiveness. Sad to say, so many people outside the church, but so many, unfortunately, inside the church, when they're asked the question, how do you expect to get to heaven? They'll say, by my good deeds and my righteous efforts. But the hymn has said, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Notice verse 13 of the text. What will be the end of people who say, God, I don't need the righteousness of Christ. I don't need His garments. I'm going to come on my own. What will be the sad end? Verse 13 of our text. Then the king said to his attendants, bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. Because in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. My dear friends, the only reason God allows the church to continue is for this reason. It is our job, our joyful task, to proclaim to all who will hear today that God has provided their garments. He has provided for all the righteous robes of Christ. That is to say, the forgiveness of sins for all people. And please note, a joyful part of our wedding wardrobe, if you will, are the clothes of Christian stewardship. Because Jesus has clothed us with His righteousness, because we have been dressed for the eternal banquet, and no one can take these righteous robes off us. Now in this life, we use the stewardship of our time. We use the stewardship of our talents. And yes, we use the stewardship of our financial treasures so that others may hear of and be dressed in the robes of Jesus' righteousness and His forgiveness. I hope once in a while you've asked, why do I give offerings? Why do I pledge and tithe? Only to serve the gospel ministry so that more may be clothed in the robes of Jesus' righteousness. We conclude by saying this. It's at the bottom of your outline. Well, you can get dressed for church, and I'm sure glad you all did. You can get dressed for church, but you can't dress yourself for the eternal wedding banquet. God Himself has provided the garment. It's the garment of Jesus' righteousness and His forgiveness. And God has a garment for you just in your size. There's a place at the banquet table with your nameplate on it, reserved. Clarence Sampert, your name is reserved. Ewald Wischke, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Alan Oliver, you are forgiven and will be with Christ forever. Your garment has been prepared. Your place has been reserved. Everyone is welcome. On this Thanksgiving weekend, amidst all of our other words of thanks, let us thank God for the eternal wedding banquet in heaven, and especially that your wedding garment is fully provided just for you. In the name of Jesus, amen.